Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The ride of your life is Eddie Hood.
For those of you who cannot wait and love Daddy Hood, please head over to our Patreon. We have exclusive access to episodes. We have early access to episodes, and we have behind the scenes footage. Head on over there, sign up, be part of the exclusive Daddy Hood group, and join us over there. Welcome back to Daddy Hood. I am so excited. You know that I am on my path to parenthood. Today, I am joined by two incredible human beings and also representatives of a company that is doing incredible work, California Cryobank. And join my me today is Carrie and Sydney. Welcome to Daddy Hood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So before we get into it, I have your bios. Sydney is the voice behind the Instagram account, the Sharon Moms. Is that right,
Sharon? Yeah, it's Sharon, but Sharon, Sharon,
sorry.
Sharon is great.
At the Sharon Moms, it's S-H-A-R-O-N. Mm-hmm. For anybody Googling that, we'll put it in the show notes. Nice. Where she shares her life as a same-sex parent of three donor-conceived children, as a social media voice behind California Cryobank, Donor Egg Bank USA, and Cord Blood Registry. Sydney's personal experience as the parent to three California Cryobank children provides a special and elevated understanding to the content tens of thousands of people connect with every single day.
Wow.
It's excellent content too, by the way.
Wow. That was a lot.
I am one of the thousands of followers. So.
Thank you.
Carrie is a senior director of global marketing for California Cryobank and Donor Egg Bank USA. With over 25 years of integrated marketing experience, she spent the first 20 years of her career on the agency side. After making it to New York City's Madison Avenue, she decided to jump coast for the California sunshine in LA. Great move. In 2020,
never been happier.
Yes. In 2020, Carrie joined California Cryobank and Donor Egg Bank USA and began her deep dive into the donor gametes business. Is that right?
Gametes. Yes. Donor gametes.
What does that mean?
Donor egg and donor sperm.
Perfect. Yes. Love learning new words
on
this. Never imagining that she would eventually rely on her services and her personal journey to parenthood. We're going to get into that.
Yes.
Carrie has recently fulfilled her lifelong dream of becoming a mom, and she and her husband, Danny, welcomed their first son in October of 2023. Yeah. Her fertility journey was challenging and unexpected, as many are, and relied on donor eggs to make her dreams come true. Welcome to Daddyhood. I couldn't think of two more qualified people to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colton.
Before we begin, I have to introduce dad jokes.
Yes.
I'm practicing.
Amazing.
So please entertain
These
me here.
These are my favorite.
Okay, ready.
Why is Yoda such a good gardener?
Gardener, leaf. I don't
Grow.
Know. I love that you actually are thinking. No,
I'm really.
So great.
I'm really trying.
He has green thumbs.
Oh,
good
little
job.
Yoda. A little Star Wars joke to start the day. I love it.
You're going to be a great dad.
All right. Well, thanks. I'm trying with my jokes. We're getting there.
That's step one.
Yep.
So, Carrie, since it's so new, I have to go to Carrie first.
That's fine.
Let's talk about it. You're a mom.
I'm a mom.
And what I can only imagine felt like a full circle moment for you. Just over like your career and the transitioning and the choices that you made to have the same company that you sort of left and jumped ship for.
Mm-hmm.
Help you.
Yeah.
How special is that?
It was amazing. And I, you know, I'm so lucky that I get to work with wonderful people who started off as my coworkers and friends, you know, it's like kind of work friends, right?
Yeah.
Then we moved to like, they were with me in some of the hardest days that I've had in my entire life.
Yeah.
Such support. And I got to experience firsthand how special our company actually is because we've got people who really care. And they support and they've been through it too. As much as I know about, you know, donor gametes, donor egg, donor sperm.
Yeah.
The minute the doctor said to me, if you want to have a child with your husband, it's you can adopt or you can use a donor egg. I knew nothing. Yeah. I went into full, like, I called my friends at work at Donor Egg Bank USA and I was like, what do I do? Our head of client services, Monica, I was like, what do I do?
Yeah.
I lost it all. And what a wonderful happenstance that yeah. I work at this company and I've been able to have that kind of support and to be able to be myself at work.
I don't think people understand how important a support system is. And for you to find that not only probably in your personal and family circle,
yes.
but in your professional circle is a very, very big deal. And it's not often understood and or it's not often disclosed.
Not at all. And you don't talk about it. I mean, I grew up in advertising, right? So even yeah. then it's a male-dominated industry. Right. I never had a boss yeah. that was female until I was 40.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy. And so you don't talk about being pregnant, wanting to be pregnant. Right. It's just not a thing. And so to be in this complete opposite environment of support has been such a gift.
So, I mean, I have so many questions on that, but how was it, you know, that is your job and you have to show up, you know, to work, to perform for your job, but then also you are now a client too.
Yes.
So how is that balance?
You know, like I said, I think I was the luckiest. I had the best possible situation because I could be honest about it.
Yeah.
I would show up to some meetings, you know, a mess. Like yeah. when we had just had bad news or a challenging point in the journey. You know, there was a point where I had, part of my story is that I had frozen my eggs when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I was, had just turned 40 when I did it. So knowing what I know now, that's way old to yeah. be freezing your eggs. I was lucky though. We did the fertility assessment. We wound up, I went through a retrieval. I got 26 eggs retrieved
wow.
at the age of 40.
At 40 you did.
Yes. And then which was crazy.
Just to put that in perspective for people, you know, our egg donor that we were told was healthy is in the range of 21 to 24 to 25.
Yeah.
And Jordan and I only had 22
yeah.
from ours. And that's deemed like the healthy age
absolutely.
Gap. So that's so impressive and so cool.
So I was so happy when that happened. And it was before I met my husband.
Yep.
So I was in New York still and very much like, I know why in my heart I want to be a mom someday.
Yeah.
But I haven't met the right person.
Yep.
I was honestly too chicken shit to do it myself. Those independent parents who make that choice, I have so much respect
yeah. superheroes.
For them. Exactly.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it. I wasn't there yet. And so I was like, I'm going to freeze my eggs. 18 froze. So again, this
yes.
is part of that math, right?
Yep.
That we all
mm-hmm.
learn about yep. is we extracted 26 eggs, 18 froze. I went to the best at the time, the best fertility place in New York City, in Manhattan. So when Danny and I met my husband, I was 42 when we met, 44
yep.
when we got married. And when we were ready to thaw those eggs, none of them thawed.
Hmm.
We had zero. He had taken his sperm. We shipped it to New York because we didn't want to yeah. risk shipping my frozen eggs,
right.
you know,
right.
to LA. And all of my eggs were not viable. And we didn't even make a single embryo. We didn't even get to it. And that was heartbreaking because
did they have a reason?
There's part of the frustrating, you know, one of the most frustrating things about this whole process is they don't tell you why. They don't know why. Could have been a bad freeze.
Yeah.
Could have been a bad thaw. There's like kind of no, and I don't even want to use the word liability because I don't mean it from a legal standpoint, but
right.
like accountability.
Yes.
Like where did
yes,
we
yes,
go
yes.
wrong?
Right.
In the process, I mean, I already know because I was 40,
yeah.
the quality, I'm sure, was not good.
Got it.
But we were hopeful that all we needed was one.
Yeah.
yeah. All we needed
well,
was one.
I'm sure somebody's already told you this, but it happened the way it needed to happen.
Right.
And now you have the child you were supposed to have.
Exactly.
And I think that's what's beautiful about this. And I think, you know, one thing that I'm trying to message here too is fertility and IVF specifically should not be a last resort. I feel like the narrative around IVF, and this is just my opinion, should be more the conversation about preventative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And we should talk
so
about
right.
it at a younger age.
Mm-hmm.
People in their 20s should be educated on the benefits of freezing eggs, freezing sperm, your reproductive health, because for a number of reasons, you can have health issues later on even with me, like it was a minor health issue mm-hmm. and I can make some changes to get my sperm levels back up. But I would have loved to have been presented that opportunity yeah. at a younger age in a preventative way, just, you know, to be safe.
Yep,
exactly. And I think it's not often talked in a preventative manner.
Not at all. We need to proactively educate, you know, even like we were talking about before through the school system, right?
Right.
When kids are yes. in, when it's age appropriate. But, and the wonderful thing is so many companies now are offering these fertility benefits
yes.
that, you know, it's actually like, I know Cooper Surgical does, you know, yeah. we partner with Progyny. And so my colleagues who are younger can go get a fertility assessment right. and find out. And the thing too, and this is important in understanding, like, you know, there's, when we're talking about eggs and egg health, there's quantity and then there's quality,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So, you know, there is no way for science to tell quality yet. Outside yep. of knowing the older they get.
Or trying.
Yeah.
Or just trying exactly. to make them into embryos.
Right. Yes. You try. That's yeah. how you know if they'll work or not. Yeah. So that part is also, you know, be on the safe side.
Yeah.
Freeze them while you're young. And then you have choices.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Incredible. Information.
Well, Sydney,
yes.
on this note, I mean, I want to talk about, you know, the support that you gave Carrie and like how it was working with a colleague and or boss, whatever you, however you want to phrase it.
All of the above.
All of the above. But like on a human level too, because it's one thing to be colleagues and have a working dynamic, but then it's another thing to like understand that that person is going through a very personal and possibly challenging time.
Yeah.
You know, how do you show grace in that moment? How do you humanize this experience for someone you work with?
Yeah, I think that that was the easy part, is showing up for somebody and being available to them. You know, when I was presented this job opportunity 3 years ago, I was a breastfeeding mom and was planning a third baby. And the person who wound up hiring me was like, well, yes, this is where you should be doing that. And I was like, what? I showed all of my cards, and I've always been taught not to. But my family comes first, and I never, ever wanted to sacrifice motherhood. And I had been through a similar process in that I had to use donor sperm to have my family. But I also knew way before I was even married to my wife that I would need to do this.
Right.
So for us, it was more of a celebratory milestone that we get to have.
Yeah.
But one of the first things you know about Carrie is she wants to be a mom. That's goal dream number one. That is ultimate fulfillment.
Yeah.
And I learned about her story. I was obviously colleagues with her. And while she is my boss and I have all these amazing bosses, there really is this work family dynamic that I don't think I realized is as rare as it is.
Yeah.
And Carrie and I would text, and we set up a work meeting. where we did not talk about work stuff.
Well, you did. You just did in a different way.
Yes,
true.
Exactly.
And we you know, I got to really be, I think that's where you go, how much information do you want or do you not want? How much hand holding do you want or do you not want? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was gracious with her space of allowing us to be able to come in and say, hey, you know, each person kind of, I think, played their own role. I know Rebecca was like, go, just go. Find your donor. Do it today. And I was like, let's look at what it means to find a donor. I'll be a little bit softer and hold your hand as much as you need. And, you know, when Carrie showed up to meetings, if her earrings were on, we knew it was a good day. And if her earrings were off, we knew to be a little bit more gentle.
And
you just learn to read the room virtually. And I think it worked. And, you know, at our job, if you need the time and you need the space, you get the time, you get the space.
Mm.
No matter how, you know, if we're 20 minutes away or on a different coast, we show up for each other.
The fact that you practice what you preach as a company and mm-hmm. as like, you know, bosses in your own rights
yeah.
is really impressive. And I think, you know, it's fair for me to say like, women have a lot of additional pressures when going through the professional side of things.
Yeah.
It isn't popular to talk about, I want to be a mom, because then immediately that person who's trying to hire you is like, oh, then I have to pay pregnancy leave,
yep,
maternity leave, and I have to worry about finding another person to fill your role. And that's not fair.
No.
But, you know, we don't talk about that for men either. And I know like even, you know, Pete Buttigieg, that hit him and Chasten sort of came under fire too, and he took paternity leave as
mm-hmm.
well. So it's not openly discussed, but
no.
there is open, I mean, open discrimination mm-hmm. in the workplace.
Exactly.
Well, I love the support. I want to get into now your story with your wife.
Okay.
You are a successful mother of three.
Thank you.
Yes.
Let's get into this, because also I want to know why you've been so public too. Because look, there's a lot of, you know, we hit on a little bit off camera. You're opening yourself up to mm-hmm. hate. You're mm-hmm. opening yourself up to just a level of exposure that mm-hmm. might not always feel good. I've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important for you to share?
So I think, you know, I kind of touched on it earlier. For us, this was all celebratory, right? Like I fell in love with a woman and knew that I wanted to spend my life with her. We started dating when we were 20. So this marks 15 years together this year. Thank you. That is one of my biggest accomplishments and things that I'm most proud of. And we knew going into marriage, obviously, that this is what we wanted. Yeah. From the get-go at our wedding, we didn't have like the fancy china and the honeymoon fund. We had a future IVF fund that people could donate to. And I thought it was a lot of money that we got. But then it came time to make a baby. And I was like, oh, this maybe gets us a few vials of sperm. So we started documenting this journey well before influencers and that word was even a thing. And for us, we started it as a public page because we had no followers. So who cares?
Right.
And it was meant to be a love story and love letters to our future children. We wanted to document it. It's like a virtual scrapbook for us that shares about all the trials and tribulations and how do we get there. When we had met with our fertility doctor, I was like, what are our odds? And he goes, you're a fertile woman using good sperm. So I have to base it on what it would be like if it was a man and a woman out in the wild. There weren't statistics for me because there wasn't enough data to show two women making a baby with donor sperm. The donor sperm from California Cryobank, obviously top notch. I wouldn't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
So if you're already choosing sperm that's good, I had no fertility issues that I'd known about. He was basically, you have a 1 in 4 shot. I was like, that I don't really like that. I want to have a 100% shot. So I went straight to, great, I want to do IVF. And he goes, whoa. He goes, you are 20. I think I was like 28 when we first started.
Yep.
He goes, it's a lot. And he wasn't even talking about finances. Yeah. He goes, the shots are brutal. Yeah. I still have scar tissues from this last round of IVF. Mm. I wish it upon no one. If I had a magic wand, it would be like bye-bye infertility. We wound up doing IUI and getting pregnant on the first shot.
Wow.
So fast forward 6 months and I said, I want another baby. And my wife said, no freaking way.
6 months after you gave birth.
Yes.
Okay.
And that was June. And then by November, we were back at our fertility doctor trying for baby number two, because the other thing I didn't mention is I was diagnosed with PCOS when I was 23. So polycystic ovarian syndrome. The one thing that I don't have are polycystic ovaries, but I had all the other things going against me. So I figured my body needed to be tricked into getting
pregnant. Can you educate people? I love taking educational moments. Yes. So can you break down what your other symptoms were from that?
Yes. Tons of acne, tons of facial hair, uncontrollable weight gain. My hormones don't work. Yep. So I have...
As far as regulating, your hormones can't regulate.
They can't regulate. My testosterone is through the roof.
Yep.
My estrogen and progesterone are not. Progesterone is a key ingredient to having your baby stick.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't regulate. I don't have a regular cycle. Some cycles are like 23 days long. Some are like 60 plus. Wow. That's not normal.
Right.
But I was inconsistently regular, so I didn't know that I was irregular until I put
enough. You just thought that was your normal.
I was like, that's normal, right? Like every 48 days I get it. And they're like, that's not a normal period. And I go, but it is for me. And they're like, no, that's not the way your body should be working. So I wanted to start tricking my body into getting pregnant, and I knew I should get pregnant within 4 tries. Let's start in November, and by the second or third time, we'll get pregnant. And my wife said, that's not the way science works. And she was a little bit right on that one, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my first two are 20 months apart.
Wow.
And that was a lot. Love them. Wouldn't change it.
Was that an IUI baby as well?
That was an IUI baby. Okay. So again, my body, sperm donor. IUI is like turkey baster at the doctor's office.
Yep.
I had to be on Clomid for a few days. My wife does not like when I'm on Clomid. I felt fine.
I'm on Clomid now. So I got off of synthetic shot testosterone. Yeah. And now I take, there's studies out there that if men take 25 milligrams of Clomid on a daily basis, it actually raises their testosterone levels.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you guys knew that.
I did not.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So it's better than 2-in synthetic.
Yep.
It's healthier for men's bodies to promote testosterone.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
So. Well, I have a lot of testosterone.
Send some my way because I didn't have some.
I'm happy to share. That's why if I could bottle some of my testosterone, give it away. I would do that for free.
Real quick, because I do know we've covered this on another episode. Can you tell people what IUI is?
Intrauterine insemination.
Great.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Intrauterine insemination, that is when they take a catheter through your cervix and inject the sperm. So the sperm has a less distance to swim.
They have a head start.
Yes. What's really cool, I don't know if everybody's doctor does this, after he does the IUI, he does a vaginal ultrasound to make sure the sperm are there. And I literally see
them swimming.
I was like, oh, there's sperm in my body right now. This is so, there's a lot of, it was weird and cool. It was really cool. Like
science is so cool.
It's so cool.
He's like, yep, they're where they should be. And I'm like, okay.
You're like, do your thing.
Yeah. And I was like, I know putting my legs up is like not a real thing, but I feel like I shouldn't. He goes, you can get up, go get dressed.
You standing up is not going to make their travel harder.
No, it doesn't make sense.
I know, right?
Like,
I would do the same thing. I'm like, should I be upside down right now to like help promote? Like,
yeah, it freaked me out. And I know a lot of people when they do fertility treatments, they do like the McDonald's French fries and things like that. I have my own ritual. So the night before insemination, my wife and I have a glass of wine because that's our night for romance. Because that's our night for romance. The next day, my mom has to be at my inseminations.
Yeah,
she has to be. She is my good luck charm.
Yeah,
well, my wife is welcome to come, but my mom has to be there. And then we go and have shabu shabu or pho. Amazing. So I need warm brothy soup to make a nice warm home.
Yeah. Mm. I love that you have your thing though.
Our doctor did let Britt do the act, like after he got me set up, he goes, do you want to pull the trigger? So Britt did get me pregnant.
Incredible.
Like literally.
I love that.
That's
amazing. It was magical. And baby number three, we did reciprocal IVF.
Okay.
So that's when you take egg from partner one, make embryos, transfer embryos into partner two.
Mm.
That was wild.
Yeah.
Y'all, IVF is crazy. And like this little tiny embryo was frozen.
Yep.
And then not.
And then just dropped in there.
Yeah. I am a manifester. I believe in the power of speaking it, having confidence in something that doesn't even exist yet.
Yeah.
Jordan, however, is a little more cautious and reserved, and he does not. So we have different methods on how we go about it.
Which is why it works.
Which is also, I think, like why we work as a couple, too.
100%. Like,
we have our own thing. We support each other. We know and love that about each other, but we just operate differently.
That's the yin and yang of independence. Love.
And I think you get to figure out what works for you. Like even the first time that I knew we were thawing my frozen eggs, I had the whole plan like out. I was like, okay, and then that means that we're going to have an embryo transfer here and I'm going to be this pregnant there and this and then I wrote it all out in my calendar and then I had to go back and cross it all out. And that was a moment for me where I was like, okay, I get to live in the more short term for now. I can't be the planner that I am. Like I'll do that in certain ways.
Right.
Yeah. But when it gets to the emotional stuff, because we just don't know.
Gotta protect your heart.
Right.
Exactly. I wound up having to protect my heart a little bit because it got to be too much.
I love that you said that. Because that was hard navigating all of this. It's like, how do I protect myself and protect our family? Because that's sort of been our mantra since we got married is every decision we make, we want to protect our family.
Yeah.
And at times we know that we have a platform and we have a responsibility to be role models. And also, I just don't think there's a lot of people in our community that love talking about family building. Our community does a good job of portraying freedom in many other ways that, you know, this was something that I felt was important to share.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a balance because you're opening yourself up to a lot of opinions.
Yes.
And I want to know, how do you deal with that?
My wife and I deal with it very differently. Again, that yin and yang. She puts people on blast.
I've tried it all, by the way. So like there is no right
and
or wrong answer.
There's no right change over time for you.
And moods that you're in and days and like what you're going through.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I'm a report and block. which does nothing.
Send them to the void.
I just send them to the void. And I've tried reporting, and every report I've given has come back, nope, they're fine. And I'm like, no, they're not fine. I'm all for public speech, but there is a line and
a... There's a difference between public speech and freedom of speech and hate.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. When, and I think that's important to say.
I am not a tough-skinned person. I've grown when it's more like homophobic or even anti-Semitic. When it's after my children, that's where I
draw the line.
I can't.
I can't even imagine me as a dad, like how protective.
It's so hard. And you know, like I get it in the world, and not for people who are genuinely curious and might have a difference of opinion. I can understand it. I have put myself out there. But I've put myself out there with the intent to share and to educate and to just be a resource and a light. Yeah. So when you come after me to diminish that light, first of all, do you think you're going to change my mind? Right. You know what? You're so right. This marriage, what are two women doing together? Right. Peace out.
Right.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Well, I've already heard too is, I mean, I already had these comments under every once in a while under a picture or a video from daddyhood is a child needs its mother. What don't you do that? Or you're renting a womb, all of these like really hurtful things. Yeah, and
it's,
you know, even people being like, who's the mom? Who's the dad? And it's like, it's we're a dad and a dad and there's a mom and a mom. And like, I have feminine energy. My husband does it. We balance each other in energetic ways too.
Yes.
Yep.
And I don't think that's talked about.
It's
a lot,
not. It's
so. My wedding, my wife is Israeli. So we had a wedding that was done in English and in Hebrew. And beautiful. In Hebrew, there are masculine and feminine words like in most languages other than English.
Yes.
And our female rabbi suggested that we don't change it to all be feminine verbs and nouns. She said, keep it as is because you both hold feminine and masculine energies. Beautiful. And you're both going to need to give and take in different parts of your life to build a future together. Done. Sold.
Beautiful.
And so that's kind of been the foundation for our whole life is... We both take on those roles. And while I'm more emotional and my wife is more logical, there are definitely days where she's more emotional and I'm more logical. Those days are weird. Out of my element.
Been there, done that.
But like it works.
You have to show up for your partner where they're at on that day.
Yeah.
Sydney and Carrie, thank you so much for joining me. You're coming back next week though. This is part one of our conversation and I cannot wait to get into part two. So thank you for being here and stay tuned next week for part two. And for those of you who cannot wait until next week, please join us on our Patreon. We are going to be releasing part two early. It's going to be on Monday. So sign up over at our Patreon. I will put the link right here and we will see you over there.
The ride of your life is Eddie Hood.